believe during this COVID time, we need to continue to impress upon ourselves whose identity we possess. Because it's easy to feel lost in this time. I mean, have you ever had one of those nightmares that you wake up in a cold sweat because you did something that you are not proud of? You know, you had that dreadful feeling that God's going to come down on you because the guilt weighs heavily. Well, that's a little what our focus is going to be on today. Craig Barnes, who is no relationship to me, but we were youth pastors together in Southern California and worked on a camp together. He went on to become the senior pastor at National Presbyterian Church and now is the president of Princeton Seminary. But while he was at National, he wrote a weekly devotional, and one of them really impressed me. He said, "One of these voices," and he was comparing voices that come upon us, "come from a painful past. It calls you to turn your head around and keep focused on your failures, on your sins. How could you have done that? The past keeps asking us, how could I have been like that? Or it may preoccupy you with failures and sins of others who hurt you. Either way, the voice from the past makes it impossible to move forward, move ahead, because it doesn't let you face the future. It doesn't matter how carefully you analyze your shame or how long you nurture the hurts you've collected, you'll never have a better past." Interesting. But then he goes on. "The other voice calls you out from heaven. It invites you to keep moving into the future because you are not at home yet. The place where you can settle down. You will know when you get there because heaven is the place where you are no longer haunted by the voice from the past. In heaven, finally, there's no regret." And then he concludes, "In the meantime, as the Apostle Paul says, we strain forward to what lies ahead, the heavenly call. That means we have to forgive, forget, and turn away from our own past failure. Because that is exactly what God does for each of us. But only when we trust in that can we move ahead into our future." Well, today, if you're following along with me in our Lenten study of Max Lucado's book, Anxious for Nothing, then today we're in chapter 3, which is titled, "Rejoice in the Lord's Mercy." That is His forgiveness. So, as Max Lucado says, the Philippians, who hear Paul defending his attempts at righteousness and comparing them then to letting go of those, to discover that without Christ, all of his works are futile. So we're going to begin our passage in chapter 3 of Philippians, where Paul is clearly defending himself against some sort of opponents who've infiltrated the Philippian community. Who were these opponents and why was Paul disturbed? Well, many answers have been offered to these questions, but we don't know. He never tells us. But from the context, we can conclude that the opponents were proclaiming a message that was different than Paul's. It was contrary to Paul's. Further, we can suggest tentatively that they were preaching a pattern of Jewish customs that relied upon the individual effort of each human being to earn their salvation from God. You see, We don't know if these were opponents of Paul's or if they were Jews that were following him and trying to correct what they thought were his mistakes. But we know that Paul acts defensively, because I want you to listen for the sevenfold ways that he defends who he is, including these traits. He tells them that he is circumcised. That's the action that every Jewish family takes to circumcise their male child. He is an Israelite by genealogy. He comes from the tribe of Benjamin. He is a Hebrew by birth and a Pharisee more than that. And since the Pharisees were known for their strict adherence to Jewish law, Paul describes himself, six, blameless. So let's read together chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, verses 3 through 14. Hear the word of God. For it is we who are circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and boast in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh. If anyone has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet, whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as lost because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. May God bless the reading of his word. Will you pray with me? Lord God, as we consider this passage, as we join Max Lucado in thinking about this passage, as we are brought to mind the actions and reactions in our lives, may you speak to us new words of hope, new words of love, new words to challenge us. I pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, many people have read this passage with regret. Paul had the strength to endure such harsh training, to be such a person of God, so that God would accept him. We pale at all the efforts he went through. He was a righteous among righteous. And yet, even he saw it as not enough. Even he had those nightmares that we are not worthy. Well, in Anxious for Nothing by Max Lucado, we find ourselves in chapter 3, and I'm going to quote a short section of Max Lucado's words as he describes Paul. Paul had blood on his hands and religious diplomas on his wall. But then came the Damascus Road moment. Jesus appeared. Once Paul saw Jesus, he couldn't see anymore. He couldn't see the value in his resume anymore. He couldn't see the merit in his merits or worth in his good works anymore. He couldn't see reasons to boast about anything he had done anymore. He couldn't see any option except to spend the rest of his life talking less about himself and more about Jesus. I don't know about you, but at times, I feel not enough. That's Max Lucado writing. Not enough to represent God's love in the world. Paul became the great poet of grace. Verse 7, but all these things I once thought were worthwhile, now I've thrown them all away and put my trust and hope in Christ. In exchange for self-salvation, God gave Paul righteousness. Verse 9, now I am right with God, not because I follow the law, but because I believed in Christ. You see, Paul gave his guilt to Jesus. He didn't hide it. He didn't deny it or offset it or punish it. He simply surrendered it to Jesus. As a result, he would write in verse 13 and 14, I am still not all I should be, but I am bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing. Forgetting what is past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I strained to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God is calling us up to his kingdom because Christ died for us. Lucado goes on. He says, what would Paul say to a guilt-laden teenager? Simply this, the title of this chapter, Rejoice in the Lord's Mercy. Trust in his ability to forgive. Abandon any attempt of self-salvation or self-justification. No more hiding behind the fig leaves. Cast yourself upon the grace of Christ and Christ alone. And then he concludes the passage with this statement. A happy saint is one who is at the same time aware of the severity of sin and the immensity of grace. The severity of sin and the immensity of grace. Sin is not diminished, nor is God's ability to forgive it. The saint dwells in grace, not in guilt. This, Lucado concludes, is the tranquil soul. Well, maybe I'd say it this way. We can relate to Paul, who achieved righteousness not by his own efforts, because his own efforts left even him short of the finish line. Think about it. He had the strongest of ethic, but nothing fulfilled, nothing completed. What is it that is elusive in your life? What is it that makes you not feel complete? Are there some things that are happening that are inconceivable to you? Like, is getting over bitterness and disappointment too big a hill to climb? Is having a heart big enough to love your enemies too much to expect? Is it finding the strength to live with constant pain in your body or in your relationships? Is it forgetting the past and moving forward into the present? Is it working on your marriage or family? Or is it in learning to live with the financial liabilities and stresses that you have and find a way of living in your means? You see, the Apostle Paul had a problem that he needed to solve. He needed a heroic effort to become righteous. He had said it as his goal. But he found it impossible. He found it impossible. And if he did, how much more will we? But he found it in this way. The goal of knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection in verse 10 and 11. He was so committed to attaining it, he threw himself completely into that race. He said, forgetting what lies behind, I'm straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the heavenly call of God in Jesus Christ. Did he achieve his goal? Well, boy, I don't know, but I believe he did. In fact, no doubt about it, we know that relying on the salvation of Christ is the only thing that can free people. That's the good news for us today, that we too can join ourselves with Christ, even in COVID. So let's begin our training with some tips that Paul discovered in his life and take these insights into our own personal races, so that we will do well and come close to achieving what God wants. The first tip is let go of attitudes that distract us, where it can be laziness or disobedience. Either way, it can destroy our attempt. Let's let go and discover, as Paul puts it in verse 8, the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. That's our goal. Put it out in front of us. Destructive habits might include fear that we can't find a meaningful career or succeed in marriage or build bonds with Bible study group or in joining any activity of the church, even during this COVID time. The second tip is that we need, like an athlete, to train over time, to stick to a schedule. You know, in COVID, do you have a devotion? I don't care what it is. It might be a book that somebody recommends. It might be the daily bread. It might be any number of things. I have three that I use. And it doesn't take much time, but I stop at the little verses at the beginning, and I reread them at the end, and I think, how does this affect me? So, stick to a schedule. You may, thirdly, need to find a specific time of day. I do it as I get up, as I'm having my coffee, but you might do it differently. You need to find the rhythm that works for you. But setting aside during COVID is just as difficult as setting aside time, I've found, in a regular busy life. We just tend to fade through the day and don't make it an exact thing. And Paul says this strategy for prayer must have a way of helping us. He says, run with perseverance the race that is set before us in Hebrews. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. The third tip, expect bad days. There are going to be times when I read my devotion and it's just not making sense. Maybe somebody's on my mind. Maybe somebody's hurt and I'm thinking about their pain. Maybe it's somebody I'm mad at and I'm thinking about that. Maybe I'm just frustrated with the day, but I'm going to have bad days. I'm going to read those little devotionals and not pick up a thing. But that shouldn't stop me from doing it. Because if I do it enough, I'll stay with it. Finally, the fourth tip is don't run alone. Find somebody to share your faith with. Find somebody to share what you're learning in your devotional time. Find someone who helps you have an outlet for the expressions that you're learning in your life. Paul did that all the time. He talked to people. You see, we also need to function as pacemakers for one another. Have you ever run a marathon? I've run six. And in a marathon, you need some friends, because when you hit that heartbreak hill, I'm telling you, your body is failing. And it helps to run with somebody you love, you care about, somebody who challenges you, somebody who can be there to help you keep the pace. And remember this, we don't need to worry about our salvation. We don't need to worry about our training. We don't need to worry about that. Studies show that more people die from worry than they do from work. It should come as no surprise. The law of averages is in their favor. At any given moment, there are more people worrying than there are people working. I remember a story about an exasperated husband who asked his wife, "Why are you always worrying? It doesn't do any good." She quickly piped back, "Oh yes, it does. 90% of the things I worry about never happen." Yeah. And finally, remember, today is the yesterday you worried about tomorrow. See, the truth is, worry doesn't get us further. It just keeps us in the mire. But our faith in Jesus Christ, which is what Paul says in this powerful passage, will get us across the finish line. Faith combined with good training and support of fellow runners along the way propel us across the finish line. That finish line is to discover a resurrected life with our Lord Jesus. As Max Lucado would remind us, in the great trapeze act of salvation, God is the catcher. And we are the flyers. It's God's that we trust in. We trust His hands will grab us, period. Amen?